Well, hey there, come on in. We're just about to start. Welcome to My Wife the Dietitian, a fun weekly podcast about nutrition and healthy lifestyle. I'm Rob, and together with my wife Sandra, we invite you to join us on this informative and entertaining journey through the complex world of healthy eating.
Join us each week as we strive to help you with transforming your overall health and relationship with food through up-to-date, evidence-based nutrition information. Do you need to pop a Tums or two most days? Are you getting acid coming up into your throat after a big meal? You might have GERD, gastroesophageal reflux disease. Today, we talk to a gut-brain nutrition expert, Amy Archer, dietitian, author, and wellness RD, all about reflux, heartburn, and what to do about it through lifestyle changes.
Yeah, reflux is so common. I mean, I see it in my practice. I have an assessment form that everybody fills out, and I would say that probably 90% of people check that box, maybe almost 100. I mean, literally, the statistics, for the population are about 20% of people have, pretty severe reflux symptoms. So I'm not surprised that I see it in my practice so much since I work so much with gut health.
Stay with us.
Enjoying the show? You can help others find it and enjoy it too by giving us a 5-star rating or review. If you feel like reaching out to us with a question or comment, you can send us an email at mywifetherd@gmail.com. And don't forget to visit our website at mywifethedietitian.com, as well as our social media pages. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Enjoy the show. Welcome to My Wife the Dietitian. Hello, Sandra.
Hi, Rob.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Good.
Good, good. What's happening today?
Oh, I'm excited about who we're interviewing today.
Oh, who is it? Actually, I know who it is. I'm just pretending.
Yeah, we're talking to Amy Archer, registered dietitian, the wellness RD, all about reflux and heartburn and GERD, which is gastroesophageal reflux disease.
I love that word. There's some fun words we get to in this episode, but that is one of them. GERD.
Yeah, I know. It's a common theme that comes up with clients over the years in various settings, like pregnancy or as people age or even young people. It's kind of across the life spectrum in terms of symptoms and an issue for people.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was so common. But after hearing about it and hearing some of the causes, which are a lot of lifestyle and, stress related, busy life, and just kind of the way the world is these days, it makes sense that there's a lot of people who are, suffering from GERD.
Yeah. And just our standard American diet or North American diet.
True.
Too.
Yeah.
But yeah, Amy's website's really awesome. The Wellness RD, she says healthy gut, happy brain with anti-inflammatory nutrition. And she helps people restore their gut health and optimize their brain health by helping recommend anti-inflammatory foods and helping people restore their gut-brain connection. And it's all to do with healthy gut. So GERD is a big part of that and helping food go the right direction down, it's a one way. It should be a one way street.
Going down and not up.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah, there you go. Awesome. Well, let's bring out Amy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. We've been talking to Amy Archer and in the green room here before we started recording, and I'm so excited to invite Amy to an interview with Rob and I. Amy, could you please tell our listeners what you do in your work and who you help and what we're going to talk about today?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me. I am a registered dietitian nutritionist, and I work a lot with gut-brain health. That's really my focus. I have a private practice. I also work a bit with ADHD clients in a clinic. And, but mainly my main focus is my private practice, and I do a bunch of writing as well. I just finished my second continuing education book for dietitians on nutrition and concussion recovery. And my first book was on nutrition and ADHD.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah. Those are really important resources. And what you said earlier was that there was nothing like that in the market or for dietitians, that like all that information in one resource in a book for both the concussion one and the ADHD one. So that's incredible. Wow. This is an amazing impact you're having by teaching other dietitians about your expertise and to help support clients with concussions and ADHD, because I feel like that's a growing problem. And today, actually, we're talking about the reflux, because this is also something that I see in my practice all the time, is the amount of people on PPIs and antacids and that have heartburn and gastroesophageal reflux disease. And I noticed Amy had an awesome article about reflux. And so that's why I wanted to talk to you today about what are the symptoms and causes of reflux?
Yeah, reflux is so common. I mean, I see it in my practice. I have an assessment form that everybody fills out. And I would say that probably 90% of people check that box, maybe almost 100. I mean, literally the statistics, for the population are about 20% of people have, pretty severe reflux symptoms.
Wow.
So I'm not surprised that I see it in my practice so much, since I work so much with gut health.
Yes.
What is it exactly? Like, what are the symptoms? Like, for someone who just doesn't know anything, we'll just pretend that's me. describe what, like you were talking about GERD, and I kind of know what that is now because it's a funny word and I've asked Sandra a bunch of times. So I know what it is, but maybe we can talk about what that is and what PPIs are. I think I heard you guys say that too. And maybe just what some of the symptoms are, if they're so common. Yeah.
They are very common. So the main symptoms you've heard of heartburn. So that burning feeling in the chest. Sometimes it's difficulty swallowing or just a feeling like a lump in your throat. It could be, a mild form of chest pain. Obviously, if you have chest pain, you want to get that checked out. Burping. Sometimes it's nausea. So it's really varied. But the biggest thing that people feel is that burning sensation, in the throat area.
And is that related to eating? Like, is it coming like right after you've finished eating, or it can be anytime? Or
it can be anytime. Sometimes foods can provoke it. We can definitely talk about that, but it can really be anytime. And like I said, it's very common.
Okay. Good to know.
I know that I had it when I was pregnant, just partly, mm-hmm. I guess that's a main pregnancy symptom, because you have the baby is like pushing up on your diaphragm, and then that relaxes the esophagus and the sphincter there, so that you have the gastric acid coming up into your throat. And that's what it started for me. But I know many men have it, women, all ages. Like it's oh my gosh, it's crazy. And what are the causes?
So there's many causes. So you had mentioned a great point. So that basically what's happening is that sphincter, that esophageal sphincter is relaxing and opening up. And so sometimes they get kind of a what they call like a backflow from the stomach to the esophagus. And so that's where some of that burning comes in. So, the causes, so there's a couple different ways to look at it. So if we're looking at like the root causes, like what's causing it, there can be some medical things that are occurring. You'd mentioned a great point, pregnancy, pushing up on that diaphragm and on that stomach can really, provoke some of those symptoms. So some of the main things I see are, changes in gut health, changes in stomach acid and kind of the enzymes that help break down food. Being overweight is sometimes a trigger, even just like a lot of breath holding that's putting pressure, kind of in that abdominal area. The biggest one that I probably see, because I work so much with gut health, is constipation. When the bowels aren't moving, we're supposed to go in and out. And when it's not moving, it's just holding on, and it can put really a lot of pressure on the stomach and then, push that reflux up. There's something called hiatal hernia, which you may have heard of, where again, the stomach kind of pushes up on the chest. And then another big one that I see, this is again, looking at root causes, is something called H. pylori, which I don't know if you've interviewed anybody about that before, but
no, we haven't. That's a great suggestion though, because that's another thing I see in my clients a lot. Yes.
It's very common. It's actually, you know, most people have some of it, but if it's overgrown then, or, you know, in elevated levels, then that can reduce stomach acid and also increase some of the reflux symptoms. So with my clients, when they come in, I always, you know, if they have pretty bad reflux, I usually send them back to their doctor and have them get checked for H. pylori to see if that might be a root cause. So those are some
and
of the
Rob's
root
asking,
causes.
What is that? Aren't you, Rob?
I've heard the word. Is it like a bacteria? Is that?
Yes, it's a bacteria.
So that would be present and it would be causing those symptoms for them?
Right. So if they have excess levels, basically what it does is it decreases the stomach acid and then we get these reflux symptoms that occur because that sphincter is not working properly. There's a lot of kind of misconception about reflux. You know, we often hear, oh, too much stomach acid or too little stomach acid. And, you know, it could be a combination. But when the stomach acid is low, we get, you know, the lower esophageal sphincter doesn't work as well. So that's when we might see those symptoms occur. So we want to maintain good stomach acid. So eating healthy, we'll talk a lot about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a big point. And because that's what happens with like taking antacids long term, you're reducing your stomach acid, which, you know, it actually helps the symptoms initially. Mm-hmm. But it can really affect how you're digesting your food. And you have a whole business in gut brain health. And I bet you see that a lot, eh? It's just the B12 isn't getting absorbed. And can we talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. That is a very common event that happens. So yeah. So I get a lot of people on PPIs and I get people that have been on them for years and years and years. I mean, I had one the other day that was, it was over 10 years. And just have had really bad symptoms. So, you know, I can understand that, you know, it helps to resolve the symptoms. But like you said, sometimes it doesn't get to the root cause. So we want to find out what's going on. So, you know, PPIs, I think typically they're meant, you know, always consult your doctor because obviously that's most important. But, you know, typically they're meant to be used for more of a short-term time. But long-term use can definitely cause problems or especially nutritional deficiencies. And some of the things that I see in my practice with long-term use of PPIs are things like magnesium deficiency, which is so important for the muscles to work and for brain health and whatnot. B12, like you mentioned, really important, again, for brain health and for many things in the body. Iron, calcium, those can be depleted with long-term use of PPIs. So we really want to make sure that we are monitoring those. If you are on PPIs, make sure you work with a registered dietitian and, you know, make sure that those are optimized.
Sorry, did you say what that means and what those are?
What are you talking about? The PPI? Oh.
Yeah.
PPIs are proton pump inhibitors.
And is that something, it sounds like a machine. I was saying that to Sandra. It sounds like something you're hooked up to, but I don't think it is, right? It's like a pill or some kind of medication or...
Yes. It's a medication that helps basically with reflux. Very commonly prescribed.
It's a funny term too, hey? Do you feel funny saying that? PPIs?
But it's actually easy to say. So it's, you know, it's not like some long, you know, drawn out word. So it's PPIs.
That's true.
Exactly.
Like hydrochlorothiazide.
Right.
Sorry, anyway.
PPL. Yes, exactly.
It sounds like something you talk about in like kindergarten class though.
PPI.
Anyway, let's carry on.
You see it everywhere now. I mean, it's all over the place. So you hear about it, you see it. Yeah, it's a very, very common term.
Yeah, I heard a good analogy of heartburn as like, so kids are splashing in a pool and they're like just like tossing the ball and they're like, you know, all the water's kind of slushing out of the pool and they're just fighting or they're playing or whatever. And that's kind of like what's happening in the gut, like in your esophagus, where there's like the acids are coming, like they're spilling out of the pool, like they're coming up to the throat and burning your throat because it's so acidic. The pH is so low that you're getting these acids coming up where they're not supposed to be. And then over time, that can be damaging to the lining in the esophagus. So yeah, that's just an analogy that I heard, which I thought, yeah, that's a good way. It's supposed to go down. Like your acids are supposed to, like your food goes into your stomach and then your stomach has the acid to digest the food and, you know, access the nutrition and digest and absorb. And then, yeah, in a perfect world, and then you have a bowel movement and things work. But that's the whole thing with the gut, eh? It can be so, if the peristalsis, so you're not having that, like it's not going the right way, or if you're constipated chronically, then your things aren't moving. So then you can, like you said, you're getting that heartburn and pushing up on the diaphragm and then that awful feeling. And it's partly like with lifestyle, when we talk about things that we can control in life, because, you know, you can't control your age or your genetics, but you can control your lifestyle, like your diet and exercise and stress and sleep. And with the diet, it's like the when and the, like what we're eating and when and how, I guess, right? Like those are like the things I ask my clients, and to kind of get to the root cause and maybe little things that we can change in their lifestyle to help reduce the problems with the acid reflux and the GERD. But yeah, tell us like what are some of the, when we talk about causes, what are some of the things that are in terms of like how people are living in this day and age and why it's so common?
Yes, it is so common, like we said. So yeah, so I know one of the questions you had was, you know, why do so many people have reflux? And it, you hit it right there. So, you know, it's many different things. It's the standard diet, I want to say American diet that we eat, you know, the processed foods and all that. Stress plays a huge role. So, you know, we're all busy, we're all, you know, on our phones and on computers, and we're, you know, we have access 24/7 now. So the stress levels are up. Weight control is really important. So again, you know, making sure that weight is optimized, the lack of exercise, again, you're building muscles, and that's really important. And getting the body moving helps with digestion. And, you know, just we've heard so much about gut health lately, and it's just, there's just a lot of poor gut health. So that tends to be why, you know, people come see me. And so that's, you know, that can be why so many people have reflux as well. And then sleep, you know, people aren't sleeping like they used to. It used to get dark and people used to go to sleep. And now it gets dark and people turn their lights on and their phones on. And so the body is dysregulated, and we really need to, you know, make sure that we're getting good sleep for good brain and gut health. So those are a couple of the areas that I look at with in terms of nutrition and lifestyle when we're talking about reflux.
Oh, I love that. That's a comprehensive list. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Are there stats from like, say, back in the 50s and 60s that we can compare to, like, to see how much it's changed?
That's a great question. I haven't seen anything. I wouldn't be surprised if I went on PubMed, which is where I go for my clinical information, if there would be something. But I haven't seen anything per se. But I just know. I mean, we know that people aren't sleeping. How many commercials do you see about, you know, poor sleeping, or hear about articles? You know, people just are on, you know, and the stress levels, you know, with all the media, you know, that's in our brains 24/7, we're just not able to quiet our bodies down. So one of the things I really work on too is, you know, I work on nutrition, but I definitely take a lifestyle approach as well and work on mindfulness and exercise and sleep, because those are just so important for our whole body health.
Oh yeah. It's a huge piece of the puzzle, you know, and that's, I mean, food and how we eat, I think, has changed dramatically since, you know, in the last, you know, since the 50s or 60s or whenever, you know, but lifestyle too. I mean, it's a different world. And like you said, it's a 24/7 world now. And we've discussed that a few times before. Like, we're expected, like if someone texts you at 11 o'clock at night, they expect an answer. Like, you know, if they're teenagers, especially, you know, they'll be like, hey, why didn't you answer me? And then, you know, it's, you know, work, you don't leave work at work anymore. It follows you wherever you go if you're plugged in. So, you know, that certainly adds a lot of stress to people's lives and busyness and all the expectations that go along with that. So,
Yeah. And just like sitting too long and too much and getting constipated and just not like exercising or moving your body enough can help with just like peristalsis, right? If you move your body more, that actually helps with your digestion and keeping your bowels moving. And we've talked on this podcast about constipation and fiber and beans, of course, but fluid, all the things that are necessary to help prevent that chronic constipation, because that can lead to this heartburn, which is so such an awful, like the symptoms of heartburn can be so, it's really awful. I just had a client recently that he had severe heartburn and he basically lost 30 pounds. He was in his late 20s and he realized that it was his job that was causing so much stress in his life. And it was when he got a new job, he started sleeping better and he started to actually absorb his nutrition again and his weight came back. But it's just like it can really impact your nutritional status if you are having chronic heartburn. Like it's can be quite. Yeah. And then the long term effects are like you get Barrett's esophagus and then that can lead to esophageal cancer. And I work with cancer patients at the cancer clinic here in our local area. And, you know, and that's a devastating diagnosis because it's brutal. The treatment, if you're doing the dual modality with radiation and chemo or systemic therapy, that is really hard to get proper nutrition when you're going through treatment. And, you know, this is why I wanted to bring it up because chronic reflux can lead to that if you don't kind of address it. Like, and lifestyle is a big reason to help control it and help to get back on track with your health.
Absolutely. Yeah. Lifestyle is just so important. Like you said, you know, the sleep, the stress, it's just, it's 24/7. I always tell people, and we can talk more about this, is that, you know, with the phone thing, because it's so hard for everybody, is, you know, turn off your phone at night. Don't keep it by your bedside. Put it in another room and you will sleep better. You know, you will sleep better. So just.
I totally believe that. The blue light, even on the phone and just like, yes, a different room and turned off like airplane mode. That's a great idea.
Yeah. Completely off. Yes. So that's always recommendation. And the constipation thing you'd mentioned is just, it's so key. I'd say that's probably one of the big symptoms I see along with reflux is constipation. Probably 80% of my clients have constipation. And so, like you said, the movement, the fiber, hydration, magnesium-rich foods, magnesium supplements a lot of times I use, probiotics, just anything to get the bowels moving. And, you know, I often hear, which is really interesting when we talk about stress and gut, is that people go on vacation and a lot of their gut symptoms go away because they're relaxed. Eating different foods, you know, maybe they're eating more fiber, who knows, but probably not. But you know, it's just that relaxed mode. And there's something called the vagus nerve. I don't know if you've ever talked about that, but there's a nerve that runs from basically our brain to our gut, along our gut, you know, along the back. And that, you know, with that, there's something called vagal tone, and things that help with stimulating that are things like exercise, humming, gargling, you know, movement. So those are so important, you know, that stress reduction, the mindfulness, just the exercise, just so key to getting the gut moving and to preventing that reflux to avoid these long-term complications.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. I love that. We haven't actually addressed the vagus nerve and the vagal tone. And I'm so glad you brought that up because it sounds like some of the things to help are just going to help with preventing constipation, preventing reflux, like the exercise and the mindfulness and meditation and stress relieving. And that brings me to like before bed. So some people eat before bed or some people are night eaters. Like they, you know, they don't eat all morning, like maybe intermittent fasting. A lot of people are doing the intermittent fasting, so they don't eat till like noon or one. And then they might stop eating at 6 or 7, but they also might eat until 10 and then go to bed at 11. And so what happens there? Like, is that going to be helpful for reflux?
So absolutely not. So yeah, one of the main recommendations for preventing reflux, there's a few kind of changes to be made, but yeah. So trying not to eat or drink a lot of fluids about 2 to 3 hours before bedtime. Because if you think about it, you know, you're still digesting. So if you're going to lie down, you know, you may have that reflux, you know, increased reflux symptoms. So make sure, you know, to not eat, you know, about 2 to 3 hours before bedtime. And that may help. Another thing that sometimes help is, you know, elevating the bed, the head of the bed to kind of reduce the reflux from coming up. We hear that a bit. And then also sleeping on your back or kind of your left side, that helps to kind of prevent some of the reflux symptoms that's in some of the research. And then, you know, small frequent meals. So again, if you're thinking about eating a huge meal, well, that's putting a lot of pressure on that stomach and can kind of provoke some of that reflux. So smaller frequent meals can be helpful as well. And then obviously avoiding some of the food triggers, which we can talk about and what foods do we eat. Yeah. So the main triggers that I always tell people to stay away from, coffee or caffeinated beverages can be a trigger for many people. Chocolate, which I know sometimes can be good for us, but for people with reflux, it can be really challenging. Spicy foods tend to be a huge trigger. Alcohol.
I'm like 0 for 4 here.
There's so many great foods. So tomato products, especially like canned tomato products, citrus, think about that acid, again, the citrusy fruits or beverages, carbonated beverages, think about the bubbles. The bubbles are in your stomach and they're going to, you know, could potentially, again, increase the reflux. And then mint increases or decreases that sphincter tone. So you want to make sure to watch out for mint foods. And then again, just really fatty foods, because again, they take a little bit longer to digest. Sometimes we see more reflux symptoms with those.
Like especially deep fried, fatty, greasy.
Yeah, really fatty foods. And then I find a lot, I do some food sensitivity testing in my practice. And sometimes I'll do food sensitivity testing to see if there's other food triggers that are more individualized, because it can go beyond. These are just kind of standard foods that for the general public, we have people stay away from. So again, I'll do food sensitivity testing sometimes to see if I can get more details, because there can be other things that cause triggers for other people that are inflammatory. And so I will do that sometimes.
Yeah, I have a funny reaction to carrots sometimes, like just eating like a raw carrot and then like a couple minutes after, I feel like I've got this brick in my chest and I can't breathe and I can't swallow. And I feel like I'm going to die. It's a crazy, crazy feeling and really intense. And then it kind of subsides. And I don't know if that's heartburn or if that's just, I need to chew more. I don't know what it is, but.
Yeah, it could be a variety of different things. So it could be chewing. So that's another, a good point that you brought up is that mindfulness of chewing and making sure you're chewing your food and slowing down when you're eating, because our brain triggers our mouth to create these enzymes to break down the food. So if we're just shoving it in our mouth and, you know, we're not getting the enzymes. So make sure, slow down, mindfulness. But yes, going back to the carrots. So, you know, people can be reactive to many different things. So there's two different things. There's an allergy, which is typically a very fast reaction. And then there's a food sensitivity, which is more of a delayed reaction. But I've seen people, you know, have food sensitivity to things that we think are extremely healthy, like salmon or broccoli or carrots or whatever. So it could be a food sensitivity that your body just doesn't care for that particular type of food. So it's causing an inflammatory response. So I see that very commonly, that foods you think would be really healthy may not be for you. And it may not be for a long period of time. It may just be something that you cut out for a period of time and your body, your gut heals, and then we can add it back in later. But it's really interesting. I hear a lot of very interesting stories about food.
I bet.
Is that a similar, like, I'm just thinking of esophagitis, so the inflammation of the esophagus, like when your throat feels like it's closing up around, like what Rob was feeling, like, oh my god, I'm gonna die. Is that kind of like a symptom that he's getting because of that, like that reaction from just trying to chew the carrot?
It's hard to say. I mean, when someone tells me that their throat is closing up, what I often think about is EOE or eosinophilic esophagitis. Have you ever heard that term before?
Yes. Okay. Rob hasn't.
I haven't.
it's a term.
No surprise.
It's basically an allergic reaction. It's an allergic and a sensitive reaction to foods. And it can be very severe. So when someone tells me their throat is closing, I usually tell them to go get tested to make sure, or check in with their doctors, because that can be, you know, sometimes it can get worse and you don't want that to happen. But if it's just more of a lump, like, you know, in that, and you feel that burn or that reflux, you know, again, always check with your doctor, but it could be a sensitivity. Again, you know, allergies are more of a fast reaction. We see, you know, a quick symptom, you know, like people have hives or whatnot, or anaphylaxis. And then where sensitivity, again, is a little bit more delayed. It can be a few hours. It can be a few days. It can be 3 or 4 days. So it's hard to tell what's going on without digging a little deeper, but, mm-hmm. I tell people, check in with your doctor. And if it's happening concurrently, you know, continually, definitely check in, with a health professional.
Another question for you, Amy, with these symptoms, is this like, if someone has, is it called GERD? Is that what we're calling it? GERD or heartburn, I guess.
Yeah.
If someone has that, is that something that they always have, or is this something that comes and goes? Is it something anyone can have? And if they have the symptoms for, you know, one of their meals, they have heartburn? Or is it, do you know what I'm trying to say? Is it a condition, like a consistent condition?
It can be very individualized. You may have somebody that just has it one time and it goes away. Most people have, right, you know, a little bit of reflux. I mean, we all have stomach acid. We all have different ways that our esophageal sphincter may open and close. It may be something that, you know, it bothers us once and we don't get it. And then, where it becomes a problem is when it's obviously more chronic. So, you know, I always recommend, like I said, go get tested, or check in with your doctor. And so, yeah. So, I mean, it's very individualized. It's hard to say.
So the 20% of the population you mentioned in the beginning, is that those people would be having it sort of on a regular basis?
Chronic. Yes. So that would be more chronic.
Gotcha.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I'll have clients that are taking like 8 Tums a day because they haven't really been to the doctor to get it addressed. But that tells me that, okay, they're experiencing heartburn or they have GERD. And they might actually need a PPI. They might need, other than like, they probably need some medication, but they also, let's address the lifestyle factors and see if you can reduce your stress from work and the sleeping better and all of that. And of course, like timing of eating and like what you're eating. Yes. But yeah, like if someone's like, that's what I hear. Is that like, what do you say? You've probably heard that too. Oh, I take 8 Tums a day.
Yes. Or I tried some, I take 8 Tums a day, or, you know, I don't feel any better. I'm like, well, go check in with your doctor first to make sure there's not something else going on medically. Right. You always want to check medically and make sure there's not something like a hiatal hernia or even getting checked for H. pylori. So absolutely get checked with your doctor, come back with me and we'll talk about nutrition, supplements and lifestyle. And that's usually how it goes. But yes, I see it where people have been taking Tums for years and even young people. I mean, I have teenagers with me that are taking Tums all the time because their stomach hurts.
But they say, oh, isn't this a source of calcium? So that's the other question.
Yes. So it is a source of calcium. It's not the best source of calcium. So absolutely, you know, we want to try to get calcium from foods as much as possible, you know, not from the Tums per se. So yeah. And that can cause other problems. So again, like having, being on anything for a long time, you know, you don't want to take Tums all the time. It can definitely, cause some nutritional deficiencies. So make sure and get checked in with your doctor if you're having chronic symptoms like that.
Yeah. That's especially like I see it with, like, I do some prenatal groups and, of course at that stage, especially in the third trimester, the heartburns could be more and more severe and affecting sleep. And they have to like make sure they sleep on their left side, but like 8 Tums a day to try to reduce that stomach. They have it like by their bedside. They're using Tums like constantly. So it's, I mean, if you're having that many Tums, like if you think of 1 Tums equals about the amount of calcium in a cup of milk is like 1 pill of Tums is that. So you're probably way exceeding your calcium requirements for the day. So that's one aspect where you're probably displacing other minerals and getting other things that your body doesn't necessarily need and not healthy. And also you're just, it's getting to be in a point that's probably needs other medical attention.
Absolutely. Yes. And you're not, you're just kind of soothing that area. You're not really getting to the root cause. What's going on? Obviously the pregnancy is part of it, but it's definitely important to, especially with pregnancy, to address it with your doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. And the great thing about that, it usually resolves after the baby's born, except there's other issues like sleep and that.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. The sleep and the stress.
That's the right.
Time. So, yeah.
And then the partner can help with the sleep issues because they're now affected by the sleep interruptions too. So,
yeah. So we talked a little bit about, you know, the foods to avoid. There's so many great foods that you can eat that aren't triggers, you know, just your, you know, you've got your chicken and your beef and your salmon, fish, eggs. And then there's many fruits. There's tons of things you can eat, like bananas and apples and blueberries, lots of vegetables. So really, you know, when we try and pull away some of these foods, you know, like the spicy, the fatty, there's just so many other options out there. Think about people are like, oh, but I can't do without my spices. I'm like, oh my goodness, there's so many great anti-inflammatory herbs that you can use. You know, things like dill and basil, rosemary, turmeric. So there's many ways to make foods tasty without adding the spicy problematic foods.
Like so, the chili or the burning, like, yeah, kind of aspect of, yeah.
Peppers, you know. The things that are going to burn, like, you know what the spice is. Yeah. When I talk about spices, like spicy foods, yeah, the more the peppery types of foods, types of spices. Yeah. But there's just so many other ways to flavor foods. So just think about simple herbs, you know, the oregano. I mean, there's just so many. So lots of ways to make food tasty.
If that's a trigger for you, is that always going to be a trigger, or is that something that you can kind of get past?
Not really. Yeah, it's something you can get past. So again, we're looking at, why is it happening? What's the root cause? You know, mm-hmm. So we go back to, is there a medical problem? Make sure that that's addressed. And then oftentimes, like I said, I'll do the food sensitivity testing. We can remove foods that way. We want to heal the gut. So the main thing is, something's going on with our gut and it's not happy, right? So what is it that we need to do? So first things we do is remove any triggers. So let's remove the food, either by looking at those standard foods or doing, you know, food sensitivity more in depth. And then there are obviously the lifestyle things that we talked about: chewing slowly, very mindfully, eating small frequent meals, not eating before bedtime, and just, you know, again, maintaining that weight. And then there's also some supplements that I recommend that can be very soothing for the gut. Like I said, I do a lot of gut healing, so I'll implement or recommend supplements many times for reflux. And that can be really, really helpful. I mean, the food, really, removing the food kind of, again, helps to reduce the symptoms, but we want to really get to the, you know, healing the gut and making sure that our gut is optimized, working well, and digesting well. You know, we're not constipated. So we want to make sure that everything's moving. If things aren't moving, they're moving too fast or too slow through the gut, then it's important to address that. Because if it's moving too fast, you're not absorbing your nutrients. If it's moving too slow, you know, that can back things up and cause the reflux. So we want to address both and make sure it's optimized.
Sounds like a bit of detective work.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's really like detective. I feel constantly, I'm like, okay, where do I go next? You know?
And tight fitting clothes yeah, can really impact your symptoms, like in bending over to tie your shoe, or, you know, like having like tight pants or a waistband that is like pressing, like that's something that can help. And it's kind of might be linked in with maybe you've gained some weight, or, you know, the clothes aren't fitting as they used to. And that can really impact just how your body's feeling and the risk of heartburn.
Absolutely. Yeah. That tight fitting clothes can really, I mean, we've all felt it, where we're like, you eat a big dinner and you're like, oh my gosh, my pants feel tight, you know? So yes, that can really affect anything that's going to put pressure on the abdominal area, that's going to, you know, push up, can cause or potentially increase those reflux symptoms.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
What are the supplements that help
Yeah, so there's quite a few. Probably my favorite ones. So aloe vera can be, you know, just soothing for people if they need kind of a something to kind of soothe that area. So the aloe vera, you can find that, the aloe vera juice or gel in the stores. That can be really helpful. It's anti-inflammatory. And again, it just helps kind of soothe that area. Probably my favorite ones are ginger can be really, really powerful. It's that ginger root. It's that flowering plant. It's known for nausea and reflux. We've heard about it a lot in pregnancy for many people, but it's anti-inflammatory and it really helps to reduce that inflammation. It increases the gut motility, so it moves things along and it can be really, really helpful for reflux. So I find that, you know, some fresh ginger tea, find that very common. Sometimes people do ginger chews, but ginger can be really helpful. There's also something called DGL. Have you ever heard that term before?
Yes. No. Rob?
Nope, not me.
Licorice, right?
Yeah.
Licorice?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's licorice, but it's DGL. It's D, it's really, it's a long word. Deglycerinated licorice. It's hard to say.
Okay.
It's DGL.
That's why I didn't say it. I just said licorice.
they take the bad stuff out of the licorice so that it doesn't increase your blood pressure. And that can be really helpful. It's very, you know, promotes mucus so that it can soothe that area and really just soothe the lining of the esophagus and the stomach. And people can take that right before a meal, and it really helps to kind of quiet down the reflux symptoms.
Is that one that people can buy over the counter? And like, where would you get that the licorice that is the deglycerated?
Yeah, DGL is easier. You can find it however, if you have these symptoms, I recommend going to a healthcare professional. You don't just want to go buy this and go, oh, I'm going to try it. So yeah. I recommend you go to a healthcare professional that deals with reflux and you have them work with you and, you know, do a whole assessment, because we don't want to take something if it's not necessary or if there's something else going on, you want to make sure that's addressed. So you can find it. However, again, going through a healthcare professional is going to be your best bet.
Right. Okay. Good to know. That's awesome. Yeah. And Rob, did you know that licorice, like regular licorice, can increase blood pressure?
Yeah.
Not offhand. I think I remember hearing something about it, but I don't know that I would have guessed that in a multiple choice question.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about it. People that go to the movies, they get a whole box of, you know, a lot of licorice, you know, it's like, oh my gosh. But anyway, yeah. So that's why they take that out of it, the DGL, so that it.
Right. Interesting.
Very healed. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So that's Ooh. One. Another one I really like is zinc carnosine. You're familiar with zinc, which is known for wound healing. So it can also help to kind of heal that area. And then the carnosine is also really helpful. That's really a great supplement that I find that really helps with gut healing. It helps kind of restore if anybody has what's called like a leaky gut where they're not absorbing very well. It even reduces, studies have shown that it reduces H. pylori. And again, it just kind of heals that mucus in the gut. So that's an amazing supplement, the zinc carnosine, again, working with your clinician. There's something called slippery elm, which is, if you've ever heard like mucilage, which basically it like just like forms a gel and it can be really, really protective as well. Again, it's anti-inflammatory, coats that area. It's found, you can find it in tea. That's something that you can find in tea at the store. So again, that slippery elm, and it's also available in a supplement form and can be, you know, used like it can be in a powder that can be, again, really soothing. And then one of my all-time favorite for a lot of chronic diseases is magnesium. I just love magnesium. It's my favorite mineral in the world. it is just amazing. And, it's used in over 600 different pathways in the body. So it's really used for so many different functions in the body. And that helps with muscle contraction. So if you think about, you know, that sphincter, if it's not working correctly, we want to make sure that we have enough magnesium so that our muscles are working properly. And again, magnesium citrate can help with constipation. So oftentimes I have people come to me that are constipated. We may add a little magnesium because they're deficient anyway. They don't get enough in their diet or whatnot. And so that can help as well move the bowels along. So there's many reasons that magnesium can be really helpful.
Yeah, we've talked about magnesium quite a bit. It's a good one for sure.
Yeah, it's a great one.
Helps you sleep too, right? The glycinate, is that?
It does. The glycinate can be helpful. The threonate is great for the brain. The malate, again, is good for the muscles. So yeah, there's many different forms, and it really depends on what your symptoms are in terms of which one you may want to utilize. So again, working with a clinician can help to identify what's best for you. Yeah. And then there's always, you know, probiotics. So again, if our gut is not working optimally, you know, using a probiotic can be helpful. There's so many different types of probiotics out there. So you want to make sure one is right for you. So, you know, again, looking at the root cause and your symptoms, you know, there may be some other things going on. So probiotics can be really helpful. And yeah, so those are the main things. There's alginates. I mean, I could go on. There's so many different things, but again, it's very individualized. So I like to, you know, and obviously you wouldn't use everything at once. I usually use maybe one or two things. We try it and then we go and modify it depending on symptoms and whatnot.
Oh yeah. That totally makes sense.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like, I like that you said work with a healthcare professional, because there's like a multi-prong approach in terms of like lifestyle modification, your diet, your supplements, your exercise, the sleep, the stress, all that can really help with the symptoms. And I think when they get to be that severe and people actually reach out, go to their doctor or try to ask for help, that's when it's time to change the lifestyle. Like something's not working here because my body is not happy.
Yes, exactly. And it is lifestyle change. I mean, it's such an important part of our health and maintaining health, you know, so managing weight, you know, watching what we eat, the sleeping. I can't tell you how important the meditation and the mindfulness, especially when we're eating, we're so rushed. You know, we're on the computer and we're eating lunch, right?
Right. You know? And you need the rest and digest, right? To be in that state of calm and peace when you're eating, because otherwise your body's not going to. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I just did a group yesterday and we were talking all about digestion. And that's a big part, I think, so much of, because you mentioned earlier about how hectic our lifestyle is and chaotic, and we're eating at our desk and we're not giving the proper time and energy and like kind of celebration of our meal. And so then we're not in that rest and digest kind of, we're in the fight and flight, and then we're not going to digest. Our body is not going to absorb the nutrition because it's almost closed off. And then that's when we see a lot of heartburn happening, is when people aren't taking the time to like sit and eat and like be present with it, like mindful when they're eating. So I'm so glad you mentioned that. Like that's such a huge aspect of it.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many times people have come to me and we just work on some really basic ideas, like chewing your food thoroughly, you know, chew 10 to 20 times, make sure it's chewed up, and, you know, take a deep breath, you know, like for 5 seconds before you eat, and symptoms resolve without anything, just being mindful eating, paying attention to what you eat, you know, taking break. It's just, it's incredible. And we're just in such a rush, and it can change your digestion so much. So yeah, taking the time, slowing down, you know, paying attention, taking deep breath. It doesn't have to be this whole, you know, meditation thing. It can just be slowing down when you're eating.
Yeah.
Because we need to digest our food.
It sounds too simple. People think, no, it needs to be more involved, but it's amazing.
It can be very simple. I mean, those are the first steps, just slowing down. Yeah. We're all in too much of a rush.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Well, and then speaking of being in a rush and not celebrating, when you do go to a potluck, and I'm talking about the opposite of like celebrating a meal and going to a potluck and enjoying friends and family together, and everybody brings a dish, what would you bring? And this is something we ask all of our guests, and I really wanted to bring this up with you. You're in California, eh?
Yeah, we are. I am in California.
Nice. Oh, it's awesome. So the West Coast of the States. And so I'm sure in terms of seasons and seasonal eating, it's like just spring now and it's starting to just be this great time of year. And I'm just wondering, like when you go to a potluck, what would you bring to share in terms of your meal?
That's a great question. I love that. I can think of so many different things. And we have some amazing farmers markets here. And so we go to the farmers market every Saturday and get fresh fruits and vegetables and fresh fish and everything. Which is interesting. So lately, which is not really, this is interesting, is we've been making like this cannellini bean spread and using it either on like, I'm gluten-free, so like a gluten-free crostini, or even with vegetables, like a vegetable dip. And the other thing that we've been doing a lot is like a tomato cucumber salad with fresh shallots and maybe a little bit of feta cheese and some like vinaigrette. Those are like the two things that come to mind when you say, what have you been bringing lately? We just have so many amazing fruits and vegetables here. I mean, literally, if you see our plate, it's probably like 3/4 of vegetables and 1/4 of protein. We just eat a lot of vegetables.
That's awesome. Oh, that sounds so amazing. Good.
Oh, the cannellini bean spread, Rob. Does that not sound delicious?
Yeah.
Oh, like, and the kind of Greek salad, like tomato, cucumber, vinaigrette with feta. Wow.
Yeah, so put some spices in the cannellini. We put like thyme, olive oil, garlic. You know, you can put whatever spice you like, a little cumin. You can spice it up to however you want it. But it's just such a great spread.
Yeah, yeah.
It comes out so delicious.
Yeah, I've been experimenting with, making hummus, but I mean, really hummus is just a different kind of a bean spread, right? And yeah, we've been experimenting a bit with, you know, we don't have chickpeas, so let's try white beans or whatever we have. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, there's endless what you could do. It's just a combination of spices and beans, right? So yeah, I'll give that one a try.
Simple. So super simple.
Yeah.
So simple.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to take hours. It can be just minutes.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, that's amazing.
Oh my goodness. This has been so informative. Thank you so much. And this is like, it's a topic that is so widespread. Like people are looking for answers and like, how do I get help with my heartburn? This is brutal. It's like really affecting my quality of life and how I feel. And I love it. You've really addressed like kind of the whole, like the root cause, and then all of the different lifestyle factors that can really help with someone dealing with heartburn. So this is like, this has been such a rich episode, eh, Rob?
It really has. Thanks. Yeah. I've learned a lot. So thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to share. I love for people to get better. I mean, I love when people come to me and they're like, I'm good. I'm like, yay. It feels so good that, you know, when people get better. And it is, like you said, it's so common. And sometimes it's just slowing down and paying attention, and people are so busy. So just take that to heart today. Slow down.
We need that reminder, right? So perfect.
Yeah. And I bet there'd be people are probably looking to see more about you and what you do and your blog and your services and products. Can you tell the listeners where they can find you? And we'll put it in the show notes too.
Sure. Absolutely. I have a private practice. It's called wellnessrd.com, like wellnessrd.com. And so, you can come to my website. I have a lot of blogs. I blog quite frequently, and I have other information on there about services and whatnot. I practice mainly in California because I'm a California registered dietitian, but there's a lot of blog information all about gut brain health, since those are my focus. There's stuff about concussion, ADHD, gut health, it goes on and on. So gut and brain are my focus. So definitely you can find me there.
Perfect.
That's awesome.
We'll throw that in the show notes.
People there. Yeah, absolutely. No, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule there and linking up with us. And it's nice that we're both on the Pacific PST, like the time zone. So that helps. But it's been great connecting with you, Amy. Thank you so much.
Thank you both for having me. I've really enjoyed chatting with you.
Thanks again, Amy. We'll talk again soon.
Okay. Have a great day.
And you as well.
Wow. Well, that was really good information for something that's so common in our society.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was so common. And I didn't realize sort of the extent of some of the symptoms too. Like, I just thought it was more of like, you know, an inconvenience and like, ooh, I don't feel good. But some of those symptoms are pretty nasty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It definitely affects quality of life. It's not good. And I think that's when people kind of seek help, it's because it's really, it's affecting how they sleep and it's just so uncomfortable.
I think part of it too is just what we know in the mainstream about heartburn is the Tums commercials. And it's like, oh, do you have an upset tummy? Here, take a Tums, you know? And that's kind of like where a lot of people's knowledge of heartburn comes from. And it's kind of given them the wrong message too, because then you just think, oh, I'll just pop a Tums and it's all good. But, you know, A, that's not the right answer. And B, it's a bit more serious than just popping a Tums.
Well, yeah, it could be more serious. For some people, it's not serious, but if you do have symptoms that are more persistent and happening over and over again, then go to the doctor, go to your healthcare professional, and you might have GERD, which is gastroesophageal reflux disease. And it's more than just a simple case of heartburn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. So yeah, thanks to Amy for joining us today and giving us all the details on GERD and heartburn and reflux and all the terms that were thrown around today. And
yeah, and the causes.
And the PPIs.
Yeah, the treatments, PPIs. The causes, and yeah, all of the trigger foods and how to help. So that was really enlightening.
Absolutely. We also talked to Amy before our interview about some other things that she's been working on. She's written a few books and she's got some really interesting topics and experiences that she told us about. And we'll definitely get her back to talk about those with us.
Yeah, she wrote a book called Nutrition and Concussion Recovery and has taught clients and dietitians about that issue because it's such an important issue, and nutrition can be an integral factor in the recovery after a brain injury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's not a lot of information out there apparently, so that's a good one. And the other one is on
ADHD.
ADHD, right?
Yeah. So she's got a lot of experience and knowledge in both of these fields, including the gut-brain connection. So yeah, definitely want to get Amy back to talk to us.
Yeah, for sure.
And people can check out her website on wellnessrd.com, and all the information will be in the show notes.
You got it. You can also check out our website. There's lots of information there too. That's mywifethedietitian.com. Join our newsletter while you're there too. That's something we've been doing. I think we just sent out our 10th newsletter. And weekly newsletter, lots of info on what we're doing. We're starting to put recipes in there, stuff that we talk about on the show, things we want to share with you guys, just some different ideas, things that are coming up, guests we're having, lots of different things. So you can sign up for that for free on the website. You can also email us questions. We get listener questions quite often. We love hearing from you guys. Send us an email. If you want to know more, or if you have a specific question, it's mywifethedr@gmail.com. You can also find us on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Lots going on there. And don't forget to rate and review the show too, and share it with a friend. Those are all good things. We appreciate all of that. It helps us keep the show going. It also helps spread the love to your friends because they like to be healthy too. You want to keep everyone healthy and happy. So yeah. So that is it for this show. We'll be back on Wednesday with Nutrition Nuggets. So until then, have a great week, everyone. Thanks for joining us today on My Wife the Dietitian. If you like what you heard, don't be shy. Leave us a comment or review and be sure to share our podcast with your friends. If you'd like to hear more, hit that subscribe button. You can also follow us on our social media pages for updates, episode trailers, and other odds and ends. For more info and links on what we discussed on today's episode, check the show notes. We'll be back next week with another informative and fun-filled episode.